first read Luke chapter 14, plot your bulletin so you can look at the lesson. This is not the first time that Jesus has had dialogue, and sometimes it's confrontational, with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, that is, the lawyers and the Pharisees. One time, when he was trying to tell them something that they didn't want to hear and they disagreed with, that group got angry. In another encounter with Jesus, they ended up humiliated. And in today's lesson, did you notice what happened? They didn't say a thing. When is it in our life that when someone shares something with us, that all of a sudden we who are normally very chatty don't say a thing? It's when we're over our heads and we recognize it's beyond our depth. It's when we know we're wrong and we don't want to admit it. That's the other one. And the other one is just simply we don't know what to say. We have nothing within us to give, to offer, and to share. Nothing that makes it better, bigger, greater. We're stuck. So in the sequence in this chapter, notice what Jesus has done. It is the Sabbath. For them, that means Saturday. And he is in a house. He's already been at the worship and the Bible readings. He's done that. That was Jesus' normal practice, to go to the synagogue. Now he's gone to a home of a Pharisee, and there he is. He was invited, and he sees a man who has an illness. And so then you have this act of healing. The next thing that Jesus does, as you take a look at your bulletin, you can see that he turns around and he tries to add more because he recognizes how lost they are. Because he had asked them a question and then they didn't have a response. So after the healing, he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath or not? To heal, that is. And then you have, from there, a parable. And a parable is a teaching tool. And then you have some instructions. It is a progression. And you think, well, the theme of this lesson is a miracle. No, it's not a miracle. It's not a healing miracle, but there's more than that. Oh, there's an addition to that. And then there's the question, and so there's that theme. And then you have, you know, the parable, and then you have the instructions at the end. But if you take a look at the verse, the very last sentence, he says, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What has all of this been about? One commentary, in fact, I knew the author of this commentary. His name is Dr. Art Just. And he was a student when I was a student. And he called it, and others have called it, the Great Reversal. Well, we don't always grab onto what does that mean? We know that if we put the car in reverse, it goes backwards. You know? And if you're looking forward and going backwards, that's not a good thing. And so what happens here is Christ is teaching us about the great change of what it means to have the kingdom of God. In the miracle for the man who has dropsy, you're reminded that there is a healing that comes with the kingdom of God. A restoration of body. But the restoration of the body is not limited to just a physical healing. It is also a restoration of our soul. But the question is, do we fulfill the law? Is it lawful to heal? And what happens is, the resurrection is all about healing. It is God's desire that no one be lost. It is God's desire that all would be saved. It is God's desire to restore us on the day of resurrection, all of his people, body and soul. It is God's desire to change everything. And so when we think about the kingdom of God, we begin to say, well, what's that like and why would I want to go there? Jesus already indicates why you would want to be part of his kingdom. The desire by faith is to see in the miracles that Jesus did that he has the power to restore, and there's a greater one coming. The next thing we see in the teaching, it's how we often misunderstand the things of Scripture, both under the context of law and even under the theme of the gospel. There are some things that we just don't comprehend, and there are those things that we don't want to comprehend. So in the face of the kingdom of God, sometimes we too are silent. There used to be an evangelism program. And if you were going to visit with someone that you really didn't know well, you might have known their name, but that's as good as it gets. And you would say, you know, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Would God let you in? And people have to look at their life and they say, well, I think I've lived good enough, and I haven't killed anybody lately. And people think of the big sins that are sins to them and their world and their values, but they're not necessarily looking at God and God's value system. That is the Ten Commandments. And in the Scriptures, we all stand convicted. Well, here the Pharisees in the presence of Christ, when he talks about what is lawful, he's convicting them, and they have no more to say. There's no justification for what they've been doing. They have no smart answer. And so Jesus has already healed the man, and Jesus continues to teach. And so now you have the parable. And it doesn't sound like an elaborate parable, but it's simply a story that teaches us a truth. And for the Pharisees, you have to remember their lifestyle. Their lifestyle was making sure everything was prim and proper, and their pant leg seams were pressed, and they had the right colors for the season. I don't know if they were allowed to wear white after September or something like that. I don't know what it was like, but you understand they had the right stuff. What Jesus is pointing out is they don't have the right stuff. As the gift of healing comes from God, so does the gift of restoration. And as the gift of restoration shows, so does the gift of God's grace. And so now you have the message of those who are humble, God will honor and raise up, and those who are self-exalting, self-glorifying, God will humble. And if there was anything about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, boy, did they walk with a stiff back. And boy, did they often, think that they just had no wrong. And they would debate the fine points of what people thought or what God had said was wrong. And so not just Ten Commandments, they had over 360 laws. And they had all kinds of rules, and for them, all kinds of exemptions. That, well, you normally would do this, but we don't have to do that because. And they had these excuses and these rationale. And what happened is they were puffing themselves up. And Jesus tells the story with going to the event and then taking the seat of honor because you think highly of yourself. And instead, he says, take the lower seat and let the host raise you up. Those who are self-glorifying, self-exalting, they will end up losing. And those who are humble before the Lord will end up exalted. What is heaven like? We get a glimpse. It is being made whole, body and soul. It is coming humbly before the Lord God and being lifted up by God. It is being given a place of honor as a child of God and knowing that we don't deserve it, that it comes under God's grace that's poured out to us. The kingdom of God is about God loving us so much that he provided all that is needed for the entrance fee. It's in Jesus. The kingdom of God is about God loving us so much that he invites the unworthy, the poor, the crippled, the lame, those who have nothing to give God, that God would have to repay them. But it is God who chooses to give most graciously, most lovingly, to the most undeserving. With that message of Jesus, in our world today, we are given hope. Because we recognize, as the Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God, right? Remember that verse? Yeah. We all have our messes. There may be something that you do remarkably well, and I'm really happy about that. But all of us have the stuff we fall short of. Some people have great acts of kindness, but they're hot-tempered. You would think that would go together, but it can. You know, on and on, we could list our shortcomings. What happens in this lesson is we are reminded that being a part of the kingdom of God is not so much about us, it's about Christ. It is about Christ who has given us this eternal life. Christ who has given us entrance into the kingdom. Christ who is with us now, who humbles us by the law and lifts us up and comforts us by the gospel. It is Christ who cares about us. It is Christ who has given us the entrance into the eternal kingdom, that is, to heaven itself. And it is Christ who has given us life in his name today. And we will have in its fullness at some time tomorrow. I don't mean Monday, September 2nd. But in the sense of the word tomorrow, at some point in the future, the kingdom of God will be at hand. Jesus sounds like initially he's kind of all over the place. He's not. He's in the one place, the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom is yours. Amen.